Hi, this is Dave O'Mara, and this is 5x5 on Monday, March 7th, 2005. I can hardly mention the date of March 7th without realizing that it is my mother's birthday. My mother, who has been gone from us for 11 years now, for a lot of deep reasons, I'm not the sort of person who goes to a mass set in her honor or has a mass set in her honor on a day like this.
No one likes us. The sleep we missed carried off.
The way she would have liked to be appreciated, or the way is human.
That, there is,
she herself, a latent irritation of her relative.
The
empty is not really about her in that sense, but it is about me, and this is what is on my mind. So, or at any rate, it's impossible to mention the date without thinking about it.
And his dedication to telling the truth.
So,
to continue in my soul, and
even though I don't write prose fiction here,
what I am reading
was letter scrum, or I
has forgotten.
It doesn't seem to be on the horizon.
Will there be a tomorrow?
It's from his book,
Science and Hypothesis.
I only know that I didn't
sleep
on the classical
mechanics.
I'm just going to read it and react to it as best I can. I'm a real dilettante when it comes to dealing with this stuff. But it exercises my mind. I find some pleasure in it, so I'm going to give it a try. This passage is called The Principle of Inertia.
No, not the lie.
A body under the action of no force can only move uniformly in a straight line. Is this a truth imposed on the mind a priori? If this be so, how is it that the Greeks ignored it? How could
I'm always in the room next door,
that motion ceases
and all around me great trees rustle.
Or again, that every body,
I wander
if there is nothing to prevent it,
find
will move in a circle,
because I want
the noblest of all forms of motion. So obviously what Poincaré is doing here is arguing against the notion that the principle of inertia is a priori, that it's something we cannot even imagine the world not having, that it is one of the most basic presumptions of our life, that we cannot even argue against, because in fact the ancient Greeks did not believe in these radical different ideas that we have now.
Because I'm waking
to it,
I would like to see
deals with the paradoxes
and keep my mouth pressed,
human intentionality running into bodies that have been getting circles,
the noblest of all forms of motion.
Okay, well, I'll continue this.
If it be said that the velocity of a body cannot change, if there is no reason for it to change, may we not just as legitimately maintain that the position of a body cannot change, or that the curvature of its path cannot change, without the agency of an external cause?
Okay, now
I'm going to have to take my time and try to work through that.
I don't know about the world. All I feel is tired.
The first presumption he's talking about is the
maker's rage.
Presumption that the velocity of a body of the fragment change, if there's no reason for it to change. Okay. And he says, is it is not, on a purely a priori basis, just as legitimate to maintain that its position cannot change, or that the curvature of its path cannot change without the agency of an external cause? So, why restrict it to the velocity, and why restrict inertia to velocity? He's also arguing for the impossible on a purely a priori basis, that position would fall into the category of inertia, of something which doesn't change unless there's a reason for it to be changed, and that curvature of path also could fall in the same category. Okay. Seems to me a good point. I think he's doing this well. I'll attempt to read one more sentence while I still have a little time here. Is then the principle of inertia, which is not an a priori truth, an experimental fact? Have there ever been experiments on bodies acted upon by no forces? And if so, how did we know that no forces were acting? The usual instance is that of a ball rolling for a very long time on a marble table. But why do we say it is under the action of no force?
That's all for today.